Jesus.
So that was worse than the Boston Marathon joke? Hello, good evening, and welcome to another episode of the Unpaid Programming Podcast. I'm Lawrence, joined as always by John, Jeff, and Mike. How are you, fellas?
We're all good.
Don't worry.
We'll just paint sore.
It's almost Christmas time here. This show should be out before Christmas, so that's
if it's not, you can blame Lawrence.
Yeah, if it's not, you can blame me. It'll be all my fault.
You lazy fuck.
I blame the winter equinox. It's the shortest day of
the
year.
It's not the equinox, you asshole. It's the solstice.
Solstice,
son of a bitch.
I made it. What are we, 26 seconds into the episode before using the wrong vocabulary?
That's it. We have to start over.
God damn it.
You've already lied to the people.
Actually, today we are taping on the winter solstice.
We are taping on the winter solstice.
This is the winter solstice.
Yes.
And what a beautiful winter solstice it is,
so
ladies and gentlemen.
It's about 45 degrees outside.
It's like, what, 3 o'clock now? It's going to be dark in about 5 minutes.
Yeah, that's basically it, yeah. So enjoy the sunlight, because we got surprisingly ample sunlight today.
We did. There was. Mm-hmm.
I was wearing sunglasses.
Get out!
Wow.
Yeah, and I'm wearing shorts right now.
You are.
It's a little warm.
And we're having the podcast outside today, because it's so nice.
Mm-hmm.
Class outside today, children.
So, Mike, you were recently down there in Virginia.
Down there, yeah. And we were there for all of 2 days.
Oh, yeah, what was it like down there?
It was actually colder. Pissed me off, because that's basically the only reason to go south.
You're probably in higher elevation.
No. We were damn near at sea level.
I think we can all agree that Washington, D.C. is not the south.
No.
Not really,
no.
And Arlington, Virginia is also not really Virginia. It's D.C.
Because in D.C., you know, you have a whole bunch of people from all over the place that move to D.C. So
people that are from there,
you don't
want to be from there.
Yeah. Now, if you're a local to D.C., there's a line that we draw at the end of, and it's my favorite county in the country, Fauquier County. F-A-Q, I'm probably going to spell it wrong, F-A-Q-U-I-E-R, I think, Fauquier County.
Fauquier County.
And that's where all the rednecks start to, I mean, it's like drawing a line, you just get out there and it's like, boo, it's like Fayette County all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Pretty much, yeah.
Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah, so what did you get up to down there in Virginia?
No, not a whole hell of a lot. My wife had a Christmas party a holiday party because we had to be PC.
They don't have Christmas.
No. And there are quite a few
why can't
foreigners.
You just, everybody in D.C. just agree that you're all secular atheists that still celebrate Christmas?
Yeah, it's not like Christmas is really a religious holiday anymore anyway.
It's not.
Yeah. it hasn't been for a long time.
That's why people have all those bumper stickers to say, keep the Christ in Christmas.
Yeah.
Because they're mad that
he was born in September.
And honest, the people who have those stupid bumper stickers, the only religious thing they do is go to church and set up a little nativity scene under their Christmas tree. Other than that, they're doing the same shit that everybody else is doing.
Yeah,
going to the stores on Black Friday to, you know, the whole consumerism
thing. To be
thing
dickheads to the poor people that are working on Black Friday.
Yeah, exactly.
Very Christianly behavior.
I guess everybody's satisfied with celebrating their Christmas with candles and love. Little Mr. Hanky reference there for you.
Mr. what?
Mr. Hankey.
That was Mr. Hankey?
Well, was not an impression of Mr. Hankey, but if you remember, Mr. Hankey the Christmas Poo was to bring the commercialism back into Christmas.
Ah, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
You see, guys? Yes. Oh, my God.
On another
God,
level,
I'm
there.
Killing the show.
He loves me.
Because he didn't do a voice, and I was confused.
Hello, folks.
There you go.
Now we know.
Gosh, that's better. And I look swell, and you all smell like flowers.
That's actually pretty good, Mr. Hank.
Is that bad?
That's not bad. It's not a bad Mr. Hanky. No.
Have yourself a merry little Christmas.
All right. I think that's enough, Mr. Hanky.
Okay.
You.
You've killed it.
Well, that's what I do. I find out I'm good at something, and then I run it into the ground.
To be fair, it's kind of like this show.
Ooh, guess what I got today?
What did you get today?
I got a free sample of beer.
Yeah?
Ooh.
Yeah.
A bottle?
No, that's what I was thinking. So I was at the beer distributor, and then...
that's where you get a sip.
Exactly.
Everybody takes a sip out of the same bottle.
Well, they had, like, bottles out, and then I was about to, you know, ring up my beer, and then the lady says, do you want a free sample of beer? I think that's literally what she said. And I was like, oh, yeah, sure. And then I paid for my shit, and then I went over to the table. And I thought she was just going to give me a bottle that I could take with me.
No, that's not how
she just poured it into a little tiny plastic cup, and I had a sip that I could barely taste.
It's like little medicinal cups.
Yeah.
Like you would take cough syrup out of it.
The Robitussin in there. You know.
The Robitussin cups.
Exactly.
It's robo-tripping.
Here's some NyQuil for you. Enjoy your beer.
I knew some guys in college that did the robo-tripping thing.
How much does it take?
I never understood
that. I think you just have to drink the whole bottle.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, is it like the nighttime Robitussin or just regular Robitussin?
Well, I don't think you would want to take the nighttime Robitussin because then you would fall asleep.
Then you'd miss the whole trip.
And you miss the whole thing. Okay, you probably have some crazy dreams.
So you drink a whole bottle of DayQuil, basically. Yeah.
But well, from what they said, because there's other stuff in Robitussin besides the stuff that makes you trip balls.
Okay.
Because it's like the dextrose something or other that makes you trip.
DXM,
but there's also other shit
as.
That makes you sick. If you drink too much of it.
Oh.
So the story was that they all kind of tripped balls, but then they were all puking by the end of the night.
That's no fun.
You just did that with beer.
So it was probably fun for a little while for them. But
it's fun for the a first while, and the middle part were good.
Yeah, but then the end part where they were all puking.
That wasn't very fun.
Probably not a lot of fun.
We don't condone the abuse of medical products on the show.
Maybe you don't, but I do.
We don't have many standards here, Mike.
Yeah, they're pretty low.
Don't be speaking for the three of us.
Yeah, I apologize. My opinions are not of this station's. Station manager's
going to have my ass for this.
My opinions do not reflect the opinions of WRRQ or its affiliates.
That's right.
Who are in favor of abusing over-the-counter cough medicine.
So real quick before we get into actual content, I don't know if I have permission for my wife to tell the story, but since she doesn't listen to the show, I don't care. And it's a very quick one. And you two guys have heard the story already, so basically this is just for Mike.
I'm
going to chill out then.
This happened after, what was that, Saturday night, last Saturday night.
Yeah, so
where
Jeff
we were doing some charity work.
Yeah. Which involved drinking.
Some important
charity. Yeah, I was about
to say,
I actually couldn't tell if you were being serious.
Yeah, my wife is kind of involved with a foundation that has an annual Christmas party that benefits children in Haiti.
Mm-hmm.
St. Luke's Foundation for Haiti. Donate now. There's the plug.
There you go.
So they had a Christmas party, which is basically a booze fest, because the profits made from the bar go to the children.
Yeah.
And when you're told that ahead of time, you're drinking the children.
You know what we should really be doing, though, is sending down, like, 2x4s and plywood.
Yeah.
And nails, so they can build their, like, shitty shacks and make them a little bit better.
No, they got plenty of shacks.
Right, but we can build...
They have houses.
But they can build better shacks.
No, it's not about... It's about medical care is what this causes.
Yeah, I guess that's okay.
You need to send them Robitussin.
If you...
So, Haitian children are tripping balls.
There you go.
So anyhow, the evening went fine. You know, we got sufficiently loaded and then parted ways. And the part that Jeff missed because he was a queer and went home and missed the after party.
I didn't know there was going to be an after party. And I was already out.
You're already out.
It was like an hour and 15 minutes
away
from home.
Yeah, it was a long drive for Jeff. I mean, you know, Cannonsburg to Latrobe, you know, you can only stand
so much of
Route 30.
That is a hike.
It's a lot of I-70.
For all of our local listeners.
And for all of our local listeners, you know that I-70 is the most terrible highway. There is no worse interstate highway than I-70. And I'm not talking about traffic or anything like that, because that's not usually a problem. I'm talking about the actual construction of the highway. It stinks. Each lane is like 4 feet wide.
Yes.
And then you have
true,
a concrete barrier. So if you try to pass a truck, you have to kind of squeeze through, and you're just nervous the
excuse
entire
me, excuse
time.
Excuse me. Excuse me.
But anyway, back to what happened.
Back to
St. Luke's.
Back to our St. Yeah, okay. St. Luke's. I thought you said St. Louis for a second.
No.
That's a different story.
Yeah, St. Louis.
So anyhow, so we go to the after party, which is held at a bar/banquet hall.
Ooh.
And there was a wedding taking place.
Ooh.
With a bunch of fat people.
A fat people wedding.
Now, this being Western Pennsylvania, and as we've mentioned on the last three episodes with Mike involved, is that Pittsburgh weddings and Western Pennsylvania weddings have cookie tables.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Glorious things.
Oh, yeah. So,
greatest invention.
So we just stroll past the wedding party as they're all outside being fat and smoking, and we go into the the bar and hang out and drink and shoot pool and could mingle and whatever. Time comes to leave. We walk back up through the place that we came, and there's all these trays prepared of cookies, and nobody is around.
Unguarded cookies.
So, I don't know whether to be ashamed of this or proud of this.
Well,
I am leaning towards proud.
The latter. Yeah.
My gooned up wife swiped a tray of cookies and ate half of them on the ride home.
Oh, Jesus.
Well, I got a few too.
Now, when you told the story before, you didn't mention that it was a fat people wedding. So I don't know whether to be ashamed that you deprive these fat people of their, you know, sugary treats, or happy that you deprive them of their sugary treats, you know, because they certainly don't need it.
Speaking as the authority on fat people here in this room, go ahead. I think you should be proud of depriving them of their sugary treats. We get enough.
Okay. Good point. Thank you, responsible fat person Lawrence. Yeah.
who is currently drinking a sugary treat.
Now, to be fair,
he only drinks sugary treats
twice
a week.
I gave it to him.
I only drink the sugary treats when
enablers.
We record.
You and me.
Well, I could be drinking alcohol, and that would end up even worse, as we've discussed on the show.
I would love to have a drink, Lawrence, just for the sake of the show.
I could give you lukewarm tap water.
No, I'll take the beer.
Unsweetened iced tea.
Someone was telling me about one of those, you know, fat people shows that they have on like TLC.
My 600 pound life.
Yeah, one
or
of those
whatever.
Things. And they were trying, you know, they try to get the fat people to eat better. And so the one fat
Tard.
Person was, but yeah. they were drinking water. All right. Water. And they were like, it's terrible. Water.
It's water. It's
life
neutral.
Bringing.
Exactly. It keeps you alive.
But I guess when you drink nothing else but sugary treats, the water ends up tasting awful because you're going
no sugar
down. You're so used to that end of the spectrum.
You know what? If you think about it, boozers like us, and if you have a night of, you know, like, I don't have to drive, I don't have to go anywhere, level drinking, and you go to bed and you get the spins and you're like, I need some water. The water does taste terrible. Am I the only one that feels this way?
This
has happened to me.
I think you are. I enjoy water. I drink water all the time.
I do too. It's America's. It's the world's number one beverage. Water.
I like water out of the bottle. I hate tap water though.
Oh, you're one of them.
Water.
I just hate tap water.
You're
I hate
elitist.
The taste of it.
You're one
around
of
here anyway.
Tap water is perfectly fine.
I don't like it, though.
And you know what you're doing with all those plastic bottles?
Recycling them.
They go into the ocean. They go into the ocean,
and
they
then
end
turtles
up in,
eat
like,
them.
Yeah, they end up like stuck in whales' blowholes.
Yeah, fuck the
That's
whales.
What you're doing. You're killing the whales.
Lawrence is weaving them into plastic shoes that he can sell to the Haitians. If you've ever drank water out of the Monongahela River, though, I would argue that doesn't taste very good.
What, like directly?
Yeah.
Who does that?
Yeah, we got hammered once and on a bet.
You just went and
walked
drank
out
water.
To the
Monongahela. It's a bet. It's a stunt. Yeah. It doesn't count.
But even still, just to experience that, I
it's so like you're taking thirsty.
Like,
I need the water of the Mon to help me.
Mon River disgusting. Water and taking it back to your apartment and boiling it and just like Mon River water. This is what we drink now.
So how long were the parasites in your system?
I actually didn't get sick off it. I just thought it tasted very bad.
Yeah, it's river water.
Somebody argued to me once that it's actually one of the cleanest rivers in Pennsylvania because of certain bacteria that can grow in it. I don't know if
what?
That's true or
There's
not.
There's no way.
This is Timmy?
No.
It sounds like Timmy.
No, because you look at all the smokestacks that exist along that particular river. There's no fucking way.
Nah.
Well, you know, I think most of those... So I assume that you did this in California.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is... As we all know, the Mon River runs south to north.
Let us clarify, California, Pennsylvania.
California, Pennsylvania.
Right. And the Mon River runs south to north. Now, I don't know how many smokestacks... All the smokestack stuff is when you get further north.
Yeah.
Closer to the city.
You got a lot of shit in West Virginia, though.
That's good.
That's true. That's Brownsville is not that far.
Yeah, Brownsville.
The reason why they call it Brownsville. But
it's very brown.
Brownsville empties their sewage directly into the river.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we have actual content today.
We keep getting distracted.
Well, we got some shit to talk about.
Yeah, let's get to the content.
Start the gloss.
Yeah.
Are we recording?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we're recording.
Can you see the squiggly lines on the screen?
Donald Trump was impeached recently.
Yes, current events.
yes.
Current events.
You know what? This is why I love the Donald Trump impeachment, is because it gives us something to talk about every time we get together.
Yeah.
Because it's true.
Whenever there was just like, you know, hitting around it, like, I don't know if we're going to do anything about it. Like, then there was nothing to really talk about. They're thinking about possibly becoming interesting in, you know.
But I think we all knew that this was going to happen.
Yeah. As soon as they had the votes, it was going to happen. They're just waiting for him to fuck up, which he did, because he doesn't care.
He committed a crime.
Well, it was a crime, but certainly.
Yeah, it's a crime.
Soliciting bribery?
Let's call it an impropriety.
We'll call it that. Impeachable offense.
It is an impeachable offense.
So Tuesday night. Wednesday night.
It was Wednesday night. Because I missed wrestling for this.
Oh, man.
Yeah, this was actually when I was in D.C., they were actually throwing a party on Thursday for the impeachment at the bar that we were at. So it's and we knew.
Don't your liberal D.C. friends take the lead from Nancy Pelosi and say this is supposed to be a solemn and serious occasion?
You're supposed to be sad about this.
Where, yeah. After the votes were, after the results of the votes were announced, that she had to like tamper down some woos.
Yeah.
You know, all that.
Jesus Christ.
You know, last week we talked about swinging the big dick, though. I did think Nancy Pelosi then just randomly being like, I'm not going to send them to the Senate now. Was,
oh, yeah.
It's an interesting issue of,
yeah.
Like, I got some authority and I'm going to wave it at you.
Yeah, I was...
Interesting.
That was one of the things that I didn't want to bring up about this is because would withholding the impeachment articles... Would that be an advantage? Is there any situation where Mitch McConnell would be like, come on, any of those articles? Come
I
on,
feel
bring
like,
them over here.
Well, there's not really much that Mitch McConnell himself can do, but I feel like we're very close to the edge of a constitutional crisis because.
I'm not going to go that far. Well, but
I said we're getting close to the edge of it because withholding it long term, it's essentially a criminal trial.
Yeah.
Okay. Under our Constitution, a defendant has the right to a speedy and fair trial.
And Mitch McConnell is only interested in speedy.
Yes. And the reason that Nancy is withholding is because the jurors have openly stated that they're not going to be impartial, which under a real trial would disqualify you from jury service.
Exactly. Well, that's part of it. The other thing is what I found so amazingly... brazen, I guess would be a good word, was that Mitch McConnell said, we are working closely with the White House lawyers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How many juries can do that?
Yeah.
Work closely with the defense attorneys.
Like, suppose that your district attorney, Jeans West. and you're working closely with the jurors.
I don't think you're supposed
the good
to
people
do that.
Of Delaware County.
Isn't that called, like, jury tampering?
Yeah.
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 But this isn't part of the it's not part of the judicial system though. It's just supposed to, you know, look like it.
As has been pointed out multiple times, this is it's a purely political process. And so this
dressed
this point,
up as a legal process.
Yeah, dressed
which
up
is
like
why
it's,
this
yeah.
is a constitutional well, I shouldn't say that. It's on the verge of becoming a constitutional crisis.
Yeah, at the very least it's highlighted the issues.
Yeah.
Because
we had founders who when
didn't
they
expect this.
They didn't. They did not write the Constitution with political parties in mind.
Right. Yeah.
Although they probably should have, because they all were familiar with what went on in England.
Everybody either sided with Hamilton or they sided with Jefferson, except for one guy, and that was Washington, who didn't side with anybody.
Exactly. And Washington didn't like the idea of political parties. None of those guys. They didn't want there to be political parties.
Or at least Adams. Adams system. Didn't side with.
Or they didn't want a two party.
He didn't
system.
Like Hamilton. Yeah.
Nobody liked Hamilton.
Well, he didn't
except
like...
Except Lin-Manuel Miranda.
It was like great musical.
Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Lots of people liked Hamilton. It was a very popular musical, like Mike just said.
Tickets were fucking expensive for that. God damn it.
Yeah.
Adams didn't get along with Hamilton.
No, my wife did. I actually was quite bitter about this because she waited in line for many hours to buy
many
these
hours.
Tickets. And on her phone, constantly refreshing them. When she finally got the opportunity, she kind of panicked. And so rather than buying the cheap seats, this is the Kennedy Center in D.C., she bought the most expensive seats that she could.
Oh, my God.
So for two tickets, it was $1,200.
Jesus Christ.
And so I, after getting this bill, losing my fucking shit about it, was at least got to the point after several months where I calmed down. And I was like, all right, well, at least.
Several months.
Well, I mean, we bought them like 8 months in advance. So I was like, wow. Well, at least I get to go see Hamilton at the Kennedy Center. It was with part of the original cast. I was excited.
Okay.
And then a week before, we realized we had a scheduling conflict that I was actually in a wedding in Vermont that I had to go to. So I didn't even get to fucking see Hamilton. So
my mom and dad went for $11.
God damn.
$11.
My mom won a contest.
And it was putting that on?
Community theater.
Yeah, Monongahela Community College or something like
no,
that.
No, it was at Heinz Hall.
The Monongahela Library.
No, the touring cast of Hamilton.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Which touring cast ain't nothing to slouch at.
No. I'd take it.
What is there besides the original cast and the touring cast?
The Broadway cast.
Wait a minute. The Broadway.
There's
there are multiple
how
Broadway casts.
The Alabama version where everybody's white.
I am not going to give up my shot, you see. All right, so anyhow.
Yeah, anyhow.
Nancy Pelosi is withholding articles of impeachment. Mm-hmm. Articles of impeachment.
So what does that mean?
It means she ain't going to do shit until...
She's not sending it to the Senate.
Until Mitch McConnell, the Republican Senate Majority Leader, mm-hmm. who enjoys just being obstructionist to the point
That's
where...
his job.
It's kind of his thing.
He is the Grim Reaper.
Because what Democrats want is more witnesses to be available during the Senate trial. For example, the Republicans this entire time have said all the witnesses in the House impeachment inquiry was all hearsay, which is legitimate, but when you have 13 of them, it's kind of like, all right, they all knew what was going on.
Kind of corroborated it here.
And so the Democrats are calling the Republicans bluff and saying, okay, then let's bring the people who were there, let's bring them in to testify. And the White House is saying, no!
See, I think there's a wrinkle to it, though. I think, and I read something about this not too long ago. I think it was The Hill, probably. So I'm sure.
Liberal rat!
Yeah, incredibly unbiased, right? But it was basically saying that that Trump actually does want witnesses. McConnell doesn't want witnesses because he just wants to get this the fuck over.
God, no.
But Trump wants witnesses because he wants to be able, he wants to negotiate the authority to call Hunter Biden the whistleblower, which the whistleblower is different because he should be protected by law.
Yes.
But the Hunter Biden thing, because again, because Trump wants a spectacle. And again, being a strictly political
I want
process.
A spectacle. I got half of a spectacle so far. As I've been on record on this program
well, the
saying.
The spectacle's not over yet.
Is it already becoming more to come? Already kind of a spectacle?
It is a
Well, we got a thing that only happened two other times so far. So yeah, I call that a spectacle. I mean, I stayed home to watch it. To see the spectacle. It was pretty, not that great.
What do you mean you stayed home to watch it? What else were you going to do on a Wednesday night?
Watch something else?
You could be watching wrestling.
I was going to run an errand.
Weenie Hunt Juniors.
With Jeans West.
Yeah, exactly.
Meet up with her.
I'll tell you what, she's a cute little number. Let me tell you
she
that, Jeans West.
Little number. Hmm. Yeah. Anyway, but yeah, you're getting your spectacle, sort of.
Sort of, yeah. But I just want to see how it would go. And to witness some history since I missed Watergate, because I wasn't born yet.
Well, none of us were.
It was pretty cool, you should have seen.
What a time to be alive. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Watergate.
Me and Woodford and Bernstein, we were pals, you know.
Woodward.
Yeah. Whatever.
They weren't good pals.
No, they didn't like they each other at all.
But nonetheless, so do you see McConnell's hand being forced at all by Pelosi's little tactics there?
Well, there's really not much he can do about it until she sends it up. So, I mean...
So how bad does he want it? Is he just going to let it go through the election until... I think what's going to happen
so,
is...
Yeah.
I think what's going to happen is as soon as those senators got nothing else to do besides run, you know, the ones that happen to be running this year, then she's going to send them over.
You know what she should do?
Now they got shit to do.
She should have, like, send an envelope to Mitch McConnell that says articles of impeachment on it.
Yeah.
And then he opens it up, and it's just cut out like from Cosmopolitan magazine, like 10 ways to please your man.
I like that.
I thought you were going to say he was going to open it up, and it was anthrax.
Jesus,
Mike. That's where I thought Jeff was going with it.
That is domestic terrorism. Yeah. You've been in D.C. too long where this is where people make jokes.
Yeah,
you know,
I'm sorry. I just offended everybody.
Mine was lighthearted.
Yeah.
It was safe and lighthearted.
I wouldn't want him to do that or want her to do that. I'm just, you know, I'm sorry, I'm ashamed.
My
I'll start drafting my apology letter.
To the Midwest crowd of rubes, you know. They like safe jokes
like Jay Leno's stuff.
Yeah, like Jay Leno's stuff.
This? He went this?
Doesn't hurt anybody.
Cosmopolitan.
Very safe.
You know, and I'm sorry to anyone who works for Cosmopolitan if that was, you know, a little over the line.
But as far as how this whole thing plays out, there's been two new wrinkles this week.
Yeah.
Regarding Trump's standing when it comes to people that may or may not vote for him. The first one is that three people who used to work for him, former Chief of Staff John Kelly.
Yes.
Former Secretary of State Rex Tillerson, who is, despite being named Rex, is not actually a dog.
Yeah. On record is calling him a moron, by the way.
On record? Mm-hmm. Or just a little bit of a, you know...
No, he's everybody knows.
Okay.
Wait, so Rex Tillerson called Trump a moron?
Yes. Yeah.
Wow.
At first, it was like, maybe not, but yeah, it's
good luck.
Basically, everybody who knows him pretty much confirmed that, yeah, he did it on the regular.
Well, good luck getting a reference from him.
Yeah.
What do you have to say for yourself, moron?
And finally, was it Mattis? James Mattis? Mad
James
Dog
Mattis?
Mattis?
Yeah.
James
Mattis. General Mattis.
General Mattis.
Oh. Probably the best person to work in his administration since he's been here.
Well, certainly the most competent.
Certainly the most competent, anyway, yeah.
Okay, quick question. Now, James Mattis's nickname was Mad Dog. Why is he not running for president this year just so we can have Mad Dog 2020?
He hates the nickname.
Oh. Yeah. And nobody picked up on that.
Yeah, I understood what you said.
Oh, I get it.
Yeah.
I thought that was... Nah,
it's a cheap wine.
Yeah, I know. I had a bad time with that once.
Boo.
Anyhow, they all came out this week, all three of them, saying that the reason why that Trump is so zoned in on the Ukraine election interference theory is because Putin told him about it. Vladimir Putin. The one who would benefit most from,
of course,
Ukrainian 2016 election interference theory. And he would just, you know what? Hey, he told me, so he's probably right.
He told me.
He's very forceful.
He's a good man. I believe him. I trust Vlad.
In addition to that, one more little wrinkle. Okay, he's pursuing this thing because the guy that did it told him that it was somebody else. And that was enough for him. I do not understand this behavior.
Narcissism.
It
I wasn't really listening.
Donald Trump will believe what he wants to believe. I mean, if it's negative towards him, he simply blocks it out, which is a common symptom of
narcissists. Yeah.
We're not doing any armchair psychoanalyst.
Sure we are.
Psychoanalysis on this program.
There's plenty of that on Reddit.
Yeah, I don't...
Man.
And it gets to a level that's like completely ridiculous. It's like, Donald Trump is showing early signs of dementia.
So am I,
maybe.
Though.
We've seen enough dementia people to know what it looks like, and kind of.
Who's we?
As a crazy person, I've seen enough crazy people.
So you all crazy?
Yeah, last night I made biscuits, and we had leftover biscuits. Mm. And instead of putting them in the fridge, I put them in the cabinet.
Ooh.
That might be a sign of dementia. They were actually just fine in the morning, so it's really
Mike, you're all right?
I had a fun moment. I told you about when you weren't there on Thursday, but I had to buy some plumbing items, and then I also had to put gas in my wife's car, so I took my car out, get the plumbing stuff, come home, I have the bag, right?
Right.
Then I got to go to my wife's car to put gas in that. From the front door of the house, well, let's skip ahead to where I come back from putting gas in my wife's car. I cannot find the bag anywhere, and I'm looking all over the house, where's the bag? And I'll skip all the... So basically, there's a whole bunch of steps between coming home with the bag and going to my wife's car to put gas in it. I had the bag the entire time. I didn't realize it. That was a really bad story, John. You heard the story. Why didn't you stop me?
Delivery.
I was thinking about how that we would be able to play you off. You know how whenever at awards ceremonies like the Oscars,
I was just looking for some
playoff music, but then you realized your error.
Oh, well,
self corrected.
Oh well, we have those.
Well, just love me boring from time to time. Turns out it's not just me.
Yeah.
But anyhow, so the point that I wanted to get to, as far as the third or the second item that may reduce Trump's standing as far as people that may or may not vote for him was Christianity Today. It was a magazine started by Billy Graham, the evangelicals, who voted for Trump in droves because he said
he was
the
Republican nominee. So
I'll give you the judges that God. You want. He said, I'll give you the judges that you want.
King of Israel.
I'll give you all the abortion judges that you prefer. And they came out this week.
As long as I'm allowed to still have them.
With an editorial saying that he should be removed from office.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
It's remarkably consistent of them. You know, the last time they did, too.
What does the Catholic newspaper say about the whole thing?
I don't know. Catholics are hard to read these days. They used to be all liberal.
Yeah, my mom used to get the Catholic newspaper.
And the Pope seems like, I mean, I don't follow Catholicism that closely, but the current Pope seems like he's a much more with it hip dude. yeah, than some of the previous popes.
Catholics are hard to read.
He just pretends to be.
He pretends to
be. He just goes on. He has a Twitter account. That's basically all that separates him from, you know, Pius the 12th or whatever.
Benedict the 16th or whatever he was.
Oh, he was a bad pope. And anyhow, but...
See, Kyle.
So, oh, Jesus.
I guess my question is for...
Well, that was Benedict. Yeah. Right? Anyway.
So I don't know how big of a dick that the Christianity Today swings as far as, like, influence goes, but for them to say that...
I'd say a moderate amount.
A moderate dick. They swing a moderate dick.
A moderate, you know, about dick.
Okay. Circumcised.
6 inches, maybe.
A 6-inch dick.
That's moderate.
6-inch dick.
Collectively. It's the average.
But so then he went, and then so in response to the editorial from Christianity Today, which is very influential, about 6 inches worth, magazine.
I've read it a few times, actually, yeah.
Swinging that 6-inch dick.
Saying that that basically Donald Trump is an immoral or amoral, I don't know what the proper prefix.
Immoral.
You know, immoral person, amoral. And he should not be trusted, so we should either let him, he should be out of office either through impeachment proceedings.
So they say that after the phone call from to the Ukraine and everything, or whatever he's doing now. Did they say that when during the whole
grab him by the snatch?
Well, there was that grab him by the pussy. The Stormy Daniels thing was what I was thinking of. Were they calling him immoral during that whole thing?
Yes. They didn't call for him to be removed from office, but they did condemn the actions.
They condemned the actions, but they knew that he would give the abortion judges that they would like.
Okay.
You know, it's weird to me that they haven't been calling for his removal longer, because if he is removed, they'll get Mike Pence, who is one of them.
Yeah. And he would probably...
I would have been calling for his removal from the beginning if I was the editor.
That's something that I can't understand with many diehard Republican, conservative Trump supporters, not just, you know, Trumpets, but
do you think they would like Mike Pence as president better than Trump?
Right. It's not like Hillary Clinton is the alternative at this point.
Yeah.
So you know, if you remove Trump, you still get a conservative who probably has a much better chance of winning. Honestly, I think Pence actually would have a chance of winning back the House. I don't think Trump's gonna. You're not gonna see a Republican controlled House of Representatives while Trump's in office. I don't think he's too unpopular in the suburbs. Pence might be able to bring some of those voters back.
Yeah, but Pence is he's not a sexy candidate. He's just kind of there.
When do Republicans have sexy candidates, though?
Trump.
Ronald Reagan.
It's outside of Trump, yeah.
Reagan was the last
Reagan,
one.
I could see that. But the Bushes were...
Yeah, they were certainly not pretty, sexy candidates.
No, they weren't. But,
non-spectacular. Republicans fall in line.
Especially the first George Bush. There was zero charisma.
But he had the record, though. That was what got him elected, was he actually, if you look at what qualifies
and
a person...
And he was taller than
I
Michael
heard
Dukakis.
The record. It wasn't that good.
He did everything. Oh, God. I missed it.
Wasn't a very good record.
I like the White Album better.
When you smile, the whole world smiles with you.
He liked the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band.
Was George Bush's greatest hits?
Was he one of the singing senators at any point?
The singing senators.
Remember the singing senators?
Kind of. This was like, what, late 90s?
Mid-late 90s. Yeah. Trent Lott.
Trent Lott.
This was
John Ashcroft.
Was this during like around the 1996 election?
Yeah,
Bob Dole.
They sang at the...
Bob Dole.
They sang at the 90s... Shut up for a second. They sang at the 96 Republican convention. And I don't know why, we were at my grandma's house at the time for whatever reason, and it was on, and my grandma just booed them from her chair. She never got the remote because she would tell other people to get it for her. Doug, go turn this off. Please welcome the singing senator. Doug, turn this off.
Well, she couldn't work the remote.
Well, she couldn't see it. Never mind, get up to go get it. But it was Trent Lott, John Ashcroft, and two other guys. I used to know the third guy. I never knew the fourth guy. But they only sang one song. And it was, "My heart's on fire, Elvira." And then here comes, boom, bop, bop, boom. Trent Lott with the... Boom,
one song?
Bop, bop,
they couldn't learn two goddamn songs, at least.
They're too busy being senators. They had shit to do.
No, they're not.
Yeah,
they have the break where they all stop being senators for a little while.
Recess?
Yeah, the recess. You know, it's like several, a couple
around
months.
Christmas time.
Right? Yeah.
Usually takes a couple of years.
Yeah, they should have done practice during that part. You August know, rehearse some other songs, you know, just extra numbers.
I guess, I don't know.
They like the Oak Ridge Boys.
They could have went and sang it like volunteer fire departments, VFWs.
P.F. Chang's.
Yeah.
Boo.
P.F. Chang.
So there was two more items of current events I wanted to get to.
Sure.
And they both involved dogs.
Dogs.
You're letting this happen? Okay.
If you're going to talk about how you got a new dog.
No, it's not it.
Okay, good.
It's current events, not.
Current events, not.
His dog.
Not my new dog.
Okay.
Yeah, that dog, not worth talking about.
You got a new dog. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. So, first one was a guy in Alabama.
Oh, I like where this is going.
What? Oh, God. What happened to the dog?
Is the dog okay?
He's not in Korea, Jeff.
It's Alabama.
He was training a hunting dog. And the hunting dog got a smell of a deer and ran away. Because he was smelling the deer.
Did he get the deer?
There was no deer to be get. He just smelled it.
Oh, okay. Why was the dog afraid of deer?
Wasn't afraid of deer. He was trying to go after the deer.
Go after the deer.
He's a hunting dog, so he gets a smell and he goes after it. And then, oh shit, where the fuck am I?
The dog's name Old Highball. So I feel like any hunting dog that's in the South should be named Old Highball.
I don't get it.
I don't get it.
Never mind. Our more rural listeners will get it. Just continue.
Mike is giving
up. We're going to trust you on that reference, Mike.
All right.
City slickers like us.
Let's pretend.
Pittsburghers.
So anyhow, the dog's owner gets a phone call 3 days later. Turns out the dog was hanging out at a prison.
A prison?
A prison that was about a mile from the guy's house.
It's like a Blake Shelton. A
prison dog. In Alabama.
In Alabama.
Oh, boy.
All the sodomy.
Boy.
So the dog was taken care of by the inmates for 3 days until they figured out whose dog it was.
You boys better take care of that dog now, here.
I mean, how low of a security prison is this that a dog can break into the prison?
What happened was maintenance staff found it, like, sleeping under a shed. And they were like, well, you can sleep under
the
shed.
Call it a hot box, John.
And the dog would just trot around the yard, and all the prisoners would pet it and fucking feed it, like, give him, like, you know, prison food.
A poor dog.
Oh, the dog was happy.
Feed that dog from the canteen now, here.
Here's some mashed potatoes.
But the nice little button on the story is once the owner found out where the dog was and went and got him, he intends to take the dog back to prison.
Aww.
You know, stop by once in a little while, you know.
Take him there whenever he's
back. Murderers visit the
dog. He's
going
to steal some jeans to get it back into prison? What's he going to do here?
Okay. Thanks, Mike.
Sorry. Jeans.
I'm off. So here, today.
You know, as
drink more icy.
As far as, like, you know, humane and ethical treatment, as far as people who are incarcerated goes, maybe we should let them have dogs. Like, each block gets a dog that they all get to take care of. Like, would that be, like, useful as far as rehabilitation goes?
Maybe if they learn, it would help them learn some responsibility, care for something. Of course, then there's.
Like they do with children. You give the kid a pet so they have something to understand.
No, they give him an egg.
The egg. Or you give the kid a goldfish to teach him about death.
Well, that's not.
Because it's going to die in a week and a half.
It's not. No, not meant as like teaching. It's just meant like you get to have a dog, though. Like, you're in prison, but you guys get to share a dog.
Yeah, and then what happens when there's two dogs, and then they want to fight?
No, it's not Michael Vick's prison.
Between the two cell blocks.
Michael Vick's prison.
They have prison dog fights going on.
Just give them chihuahuas, because if you do end up
You realize that prisons fight. Do have staff, right?
Yeah.
Well, they didn't stop that.
But have you ever seen Lock Up?
No.
I've seen Lock Up on the Discovery Channel. like a lot. Like, all of them, I think.
Which season of Lock Up's your
favorite?
Believe
me. Okay? There's this, like, vision that people have where, like, oh, everyone's actually good inside. And they think that, you know, people in prison are just people who, you know, made one mistake. But no, when you're in, like, prison for life, it's terrible.
Okay, what about jail?
People continue to be...
Instead of prison, how about jail? Terribly.
Okay, jail, yeah, maybe. Maybe jail. But real prison is just a bad place where there's a lot of bad, bad people who are... They're just bad, you know?
Okay.
There's a lot of people here that they can't be rehabilitated. No matter how many dogs they have.
I'm not talking
about...
They're
still going to be assholes.
I'm talking
they're still
going
to smear shit on the prison guards when they get a chance.
I am talking about people whose sentences actually have an expiration date. They are going to get out.
Yeah, but they're in the same place as the people who are lifers.
Well,
sometimes.
Okay, so that was just a thought that I had, and I'm glad I got a reaction out of you anyway.
I'm just saying.
Story number two.
I'm not opposed to the prisoners having dogs. I'm just saying it's not going to do anything for the rehabilitation of most of them.
Okay. Well, that's just a thought. Just a thought that I had. Yeah.
I thought it was another.
You know what recidivism is, Randers?
What is it about Jimmy and the liquor?
Story number two, which is actually a much better story.
Better be.
Was a woman has a 2-year-old bloodhound.
Yeah.
This is also in Alabama, believe it or not.
Why is so much news coming out of Alabama? I don't feel good about this.
Dog news.
It's been
dog
a bad news. Week.
This is going to be my new segment. Dog news.
John's been trolling the Birmingham Hound.
Dog news today in Alabama.
I've been reading the Daily Growl.
It's a Huffington Post editorial.
It just has a bunch of paw prints all over it. There's no words.
It squeaks.
It just says, like, rough bark.
Anyhow. Oh my God. So I think you guys would like this.
Okay.
So there is a bloodhound in Alabama that gets let out to go have a shit. But right down the street is the starting line of a half marathon.
Oh, okay. I know where this is going.
Oh, this is good.
The dog won the marathon.
You're warm. The dog sees all these people and decides to follow all of them, runs the half marathon. It came in seventh.
But did the dog shit before the marathon or after? Because my dog gets the zoomies after he takes a poop.
The dog made lots of stops. Most of them were to get pet.
Oh.
And still came in seventh.
Yeah. This was a bloodhound?
It is a dog.
So if you're running the marathon and a dog comes across the finish line, do you give it a medal?
Well, seventh. I mean, you don't give them the actual, like, first place medal because, you know, it's a marathon for people, not dogs.
Right.
Dogs also have a lot better, like, endurance and stuff. They can run for a lot longer. The dog could have easily come in first if it was just running and not stopping for getting
pet. It was too busy getting pet.
But I guess you could give it a cute little medal and take its picture and put it in the paper. You know?
That's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
They gave it a cute little medal, took its picture, and put it in the paper.
Yeah. Well, it is Alabama, so, you know.
Well, they would do that at any, you know, community. You know, when the dog wins the marathon.
Now, what if they do it in New York City?
It's a good thing the dog wasn't running the Boston Marathon.
Oh.
God, Jeff.
Oh.
Jesus.
Oh.
Jesus.
I'm just saying.
I mean, apologize. I
you know what? Rather than go to break, we'll just stop here.
Yeah. We're going home.
Don't press pause. We're not done yet.
I was just going to stop.
Oh, no. We still got one more item. Yeah, okay. You saw the Richard Jewell movie.
I did.
So, yeah. Richard Jewell, this is that director you keep telling me about.
Clint Eastwood?
What?
Who's Richard Jewell?
He was the fat fella who warned people about the pipe bomb at the Olympics in Atlanta.
Oh. I was in an extra in a Discovery Channel series about...
Prisons?
That bombing.
Ah.
The guy who... That's right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. All right.
Turns out he wasn't actually directing. He was dead.
Yeah.
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 Oh.
Yeah?
All right. I got confused. Here's why I got confused. You always mention this director that I keep forgetting the name of, and you're telling me...
Neil Breen.
Neil Breen. All right, so I got the two confused. I'm sorry.
Sid Bream.
Well, they sound exactly like. I understand.
Yeah, they do.
So, yeah, I saw that Richard Jewell movie directed by Clint Eastwood.
I tend to like Clint Eastwood movies, but not because they're, you know, good. It's just...
The thing with Clint Eastwood movies is that I told this to John on the way home from Weenie Huts on Thursday is the reason why he gets... The work that he does is you can go to Clint Eastwood with a script and say, we need you to direct this. And he will direct it right down the line. You won't get anything fancy with him, but you'll also get a solid picture. You're not going to get M. Night Shyamalan where everybody's just going to go out of there confused. You know, you're
going to be good enough.
It's going to be good enough that you're going to say, this was a movie.
See, it was all right.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Let's provide a little bit of context, though.
So who is Richard? Was Richard Jewell the guy who is wrongfully accused?
Yes.
Okay. In 1996, there was a bombing at the Atlanta Olympics.
I know that. Did I not just say Richard that I was an Jewell. Extra in the Discovery Channel series?
Oh, that's right. Okay. So
so I know a little bit about it?
Okay. Go ahead. Tell the audience.
Richard Jewell was wrongfully accused of doing the bombing.
But why was he wrongfully accused, though, is the question.
I don't know. Was he? Oh, he was a security guard or something.
Yes.
Yes. And he called it in. He said, hey, there's a problem here.
Okay, so he called it in.
He noticed
he was a whistleblower.
Yeah, he told me I should call it in, so I called it in.
And he and... he and...
He says, I'm going crazy up there by the lake.
I'm going crazy up there by the lake.
And he called me a jerk, but didn't use the word jerk.
Yeah, he called in the bombing and helped evacuate people, and he was hailed as a hero after this, as he should have been.
As we all are.
Yeah. Well, no.
And then someone said, that's exactly what the actual bomber would do.
Say, his timing was a little too perfect, wasn't it?
Well, they were investigating him as a possible suspect.
I guess you could say he was the bomb.
Yeah! I'm glad you had the you pretend to grip sunglasses to give us the cue anyway.
It's just a reflex.
He pulls them out of his pocket, puts them on, and then takes them off.
David Caruso.
Right.
Where was I?
So he called it in. He called it in.
Yeah, he called it in. Helped evacuate people in that. So what happens next is that apparently they go into his background a little bit during the investigation and discover he failed becoming a cop because, well, let's face it, he was too fat.
And... So he's ran a pig.
He was too fat?
He was.
There's a lot of fat cops.
True. But he was
the kind of fat cops, and then they get fat.
Ah, yeah. Good point.
He was the
good
kind point. Of fat cop that wouldn't pass the physical.
Ah.
How many more push-ups? 20.
Okay.
You have 6 seconds.
I don't think I'm going to make it.
How many do I have?
None.
It's like not like Bartola Colon fat, where he can still actually, you know, perform at a level.
Yeah. Oh, one of the greatest fat guy homers of all time.
Oh, yeah.
It's true. Carl Winslow, fat cop.
Yeah, but if you start as a skinny cop and become a fat cop, all you have to do is just, you know, tell people what to do. Hey, bring that over to me.
But yeah, they found
Paul Blart. More like Paul Blart.
Paul Blart.
Yeah. Well, that doesn't count. That's not a real cop.
He wasn't a cop either, though. He was
a security guard. He's a mall security guard. Yeah.
Mall guard.
There's some of those like mall guys. Anyone in uniform, anytime you see them somewhere, at first you think they're a cop, but then you look closer and they don't have a gun. And then you realize that they have a badge that says like loss prevention. Like they're just the guy that stands in the store to discourage people from stealing things.
If I catch you,
move along, sir.
Actually, the thing is, the guys in uniform in the store, they're not allowed to actually catch people.
Yeah, they can't do anything. They can call the real police. That's all they can do.
Yeah, I worked retail for a time, and we had to have this big... I don't know if any of you guys have ever done any kind of retail work, but we had to have these trainings, and they were like, yeah, if somebody tries to steal anything, just be like, hey, don't do that, and then, don't do anything else.
Stop!
I believe you are stealing, but I won't do anything about it.
That's pretty much it.
Now, what we had at the Giant Eagle where Jeff and I work, which is a grocery store chain here in Western Pennsylvania, is that all the security guards that could actually do shit were all plainclothed. So they would just pretend to shop.
Yeah, but they still can't do shit. So here's what they can do. They can say, I need you to come with me. All right? And then they can take them to the back of the store. But if the person says, okay, I'm leaving, they can't stop them.
Right.
So they have to count on people not knowing the actual law.
But here's one little distinction, though. Because we had a series of like greeting cards being stolen for some reason.
It was that same lady, I remember.
Hallmark greeting cards.
She kept stealing cards.
That's a bizarre thing to steal.
Yeah, yeah, they're like $4. Anyhow, we had a uniformed security guard, and he wasn't allowed to even do that. He wasn't allowed to do anything. His job was just to be there in a uniform. And that was it.
An intimidation tactic.
Yeah, so people think, well, I better not steal from this store. They have a pretend cop.
They have a guy here. Most people don't know that. But anyhow,
now we've told people.
Now we've told people.
So if you want to steal something and you get caught, just leave the store.
Just run like hell.
Just take your winnings and go.
Take your winnings.
Excuse me, I'm leaving.
They say if they say I need you to come with me, just say I don't think so.
I'm just gonna go.
They can't stop you.
Stranger danger.
Not even relevant, Mike.
It's, of course it's relevant. If somebody tells me to come into a back room with them, I'm going to yell stranger danger, and I'm going to run like hell.
Or a car, or a van.
No, no van I'll get into.
It doesn't work when you're 30. All right, yeah, maybe you want to talk about.
But I think that when it comes to a van, all right, you wouldn't want to get into a van with a guy with like glasses and a mustache. But a guy with like long hair in a van, that's a rockin' van. I would totally get into that van. So,
draw the line between cult and, you know, rapist.
Rock and roll.
Not cult. It's either like a molester, you know, kid toucher, or like cool dude that you want to party with.
Basically, it's there's between, do you like to party?
Versus, you want to
party? Versus, hey man, you like to party?
Yeah. Yeah,
your child molester and
it's all in the delivery.
Yeah. Way too similar.
Your child molesters are doing it wrong.
Just be less creepy.
It's until you get into the van with the guy with the long hair that seems like a rockin' dude, and then he asks you to take your shirt off.
I would take some pictures.
Then you realize that your logic was flawed.
I'm not saying this ever happened to me,
but
he starts playing "Baby It's Cold Outside" in the background, but the old version.
Jesus,
me a whiskey sour.
All right, you wanted to talk about a movie, I thought.
I did.
We started talking about
the movie.
We did,
yeah. But anyway, what happens is the reporter who's doing the investigation of the thing, she sexually propositions John Hamm.
I would sexually proposition John Hamm.
Well, yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
He's a beautiful man.
Oh, that's true.
So wait, so who's John Hamm playing this?
He plays a made-up FBI agent.
Ah.
I'm with the FBI.
So he's got the uniform, too.
Bets. So how do people catch bombers? What is it that bombers do after they bomb?
That's the end of
there was a pause.
Thought there was somewhere we were going with that one.
Anyway.
So you had some slides to show.
Where do these bombers go?
So he tells Kathy Scruggs, who was a real life reporter for the Atlanta Journal Constitution or whatever.
Yeah, I know. I was in the Discovery Channel.
And she runs with the story that he's the suspect. Anyway,
the liberal media.
He didn't do it, people. He was innocent the whole time. I hate to spoil the movie for you, but it did happen in 1996.
See, that was one of those things where I'm kind of like, you know, on the verge of consciousness when that actually happened.
Mm-hmm. I remember.
And I remember. I always just remember Richard Jewell as being the guy that did it.
See?
Yeah,
there
that's
you
how
go.
I remember it, yeah. I was 9 at the time, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was a trial by media thing.
Sorry.
I thought you were...
Yeah. Sounds a lot like what's going on with Donald Trump right now.
See, I was about to make this point. This is a Clint Eastwood movie. Clint Eastwood is a Trump supporter.
He is. He had that empty chair, remember?
Oh, my God.
That was Mitt Romney.
Oh, that's right. That was Mitt Romney.
Speaking of dementia. Good God, that confused me.
But
it's just an empty chair.
You think you're so hot with your four legs. Get out of here. Get off my lawn. Get off my stage. What the hell's the matter with you?
You're a chair.
You're a fucking chair, and no one wants to sit in you. You think you have a very supportive back? What about the backbone of the American people? Just because you're part of a dinette set. Here you are all alone, without your friends. On a stage with an old man like me.
Clint Eastwood or Batman?
But anyway, the story he tells in this movie is basically that the media does a bad, bad thing when it accuses people of guilt before any proof of guilt comes about. But more importantly to this is he wanted to prove the innocence of Richard Jewell and why this was wrong, but at the same time, he fucked over Kathy Scruggs, the real-life reporter, by implying, or basically outright stating, that she traded sexual favors for this information. Which is a very wrong thing to do now that she's also no longer here to defend herself.
So John Hamm got his dick sucked by this reporter?
Well, no, not for real.
Okay.
John Hamm should always be getting his dick sucked.
Yeah.
Can we at least agree on that?
Should just be
certainly assumed. I would. John Hamm deserves it.
I'll take
God damn it, he does.
He's a beautiful and wonderful man who deserves to be hard all the time.
I need a reporter to blow me.
Constantly erect.
Before I give up any information, but why? You just suck my dick.
What is it that reporters want? They want
a holy facial.
Information for their stories.
Now, what makes a good story?
But I want my dick sucked.
I don't care about this fat ass.
But he gets a pony and a blowjob.
Bets. She needed the story.
Come on.
Bets.
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 But so they're making this movie, right?
Or, yeah.
Why is this coming up all of a sudden? Because they did the Discovery Channel thing that hasn't been, it's not out yet. And then this movie came out.
Mm-hmm.
So what is with the renewed interest in the 1996...
These things go in cycles.
Yeah, and
it was OJ a few years ago, then JonBenet Ramsey, and nothing else really of that magnitude happened. So you got to drum something up from 90s nostalgia.
This is all part of the 90s nostalgia thing.
And it helps that
it starts with popular, pop culture stuff, and then moves on to like actual crimes. Major crimes.
I'm just waiting for the Carla Faye Tucker movie. Carla Faye Tucker movie.
Ooh, how long until there's a movie? Maybe there's already been a movie. I don't know, but
followed by the Timothy McVeigh movie.
No, I bet they'll do a whole Bill Clinton thing.
Oh yeah,
oh yeah.
That's got to be coming soon.
That's coming soon.
Oh, that's probably already being like taped right now.
Who the hell would play Bill Clinton in that though?
Daryl Hammond.
Oh yeah, yeah. Never mind. That was a dumb point.
But except they can't use Daryl Hammond because it's gonna be a serious.
If it was a funny movie,
they can't use
Daryl
Hammond.
Yeah.
Josh Brolin,
because everybody sees Daryl Hammond and goes like, "Oh, this is great. He's doing the impression from Saturday Night Live."
Sam Rockwell.
Sam Rockwell was in the Richard Jewell movie.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. He played Watson Bryant, the Richard Jewell's attorney. He actually gives the best performance in the whole movie.
Okay.
I would recommend Sam Rockwell's performance.
All right, out of how many stars do you... out of 5 stars, what
out
do you
of five?
Out of five.
I'd give it a 4. I'd knock off the star just for the dishonesty about Kathy Scruggs.
Oh.
Ah, so turns out movies can be just as deceptive as the media. Maybe that's the lesson that Clint Eastwood was trying to teach us the whole time.
Well, there's no disclaimer on it, though.
Squirrely son of a bitch.
So I have a question for you.
Yeah. Right,
so... as I said, I was an extra in the Discovery Channel version, as I said like 8 times now.
Mm-hmm.
So the scene that I was in was took place in a nightclub.
Mm-hmm.
And in this scene, it's a guy who like she's talking to the reporter, this woman, who I assume is supposed to be Kathy Scruggs, and he gives her some kind of drugs like ecstasy or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's like dancing with him and shit, and then something happens. Is that the FBI guy, maybe?
I don't know. I actually
don't know.
No, I don't know. I've never heard.
Is this guy playing the same character as John Hamm?
Well, see, John Hamm is an amalgamation of several different FBI people.
Ah, okay.
So
okay.
It's hard. It's
so
hard
she,
to judge that.
So she fucked all those word. FBI guys. She sucked all the FBI dicks.
Line them up.
Prerequisite for getting your character. Blended into John Hamm.
Well,
because I mean, you said there was sexual favors returned, and now you're saying that there was a bunch of FBI guys.
Well, no,
it's just she provided sexual favors to all of them.
She offered sexual favors to just John Hamm in the movie.
Did she do it?
Yeah, in the movie, but not for real life. She didn't do that. For
real.
There was no sex.
You weren't entirely clear about that.
Okay, I'm
sorry.
Like you need to define sexual favors, because a lot of weird shit can be sexual favors.
Well,
just like finned him. She could have just called him dirty names.
Well, I guess
jerked him off or something. Yeah. Maybe they just tickle his balls for a minute.
I guess the full on fucking experience.
There you go. Showed him her feet. There you go. Is this good for you, baby?
He it's not Quentin Tarantino.
John Hamm. John Hamm railed her with that big hog. She was the one getting the favors.
I can see why they call him John Hamm.
With two.
Oh!
Like a Christmas ham.
That would be a weird shaped penis.
That would be a really weird.
why is it fat on the front side?
Was there a bone sticking out the back of it?
Oh, God.
Why is it spiral cut?
Why does it smell like cloves?
Is this maple glaze?
Why
maple
is there glaze? Pineapple all over it?
Maple glaze, John Hamm cock.
All right, I think we take this as far as I can go for at least the first half, can't okay. we?
Yeah, let's take a break.
That's a high point.
All right, we'll be right back
after this.
Thanks, guys.
Hi, I'm Tommy Zabansky for Tommy Zabansky's Holistic Apothecary, and I want to be your one-stop shop for all of your all-natural medicinal needs. Some people say that taking a holistic approach to healthcare is ineffective, expensive, and downright dangerous. We've been serving the greater Pittsburgh area for over 13 weeks and are happy to answer any of your healthcare-related inquiries.
Tommy, I'm having issues with abdominal discomfort and the doctor says it's just gas. What can you do to help me find relief?
We have ethically sourced Epsom salts that will make you shit your brains out in a body and soul cleansing cleanse.
Is there anything you could give my unvaccinated daughter to help her ward off the measles? My doctor said that it is irresponsible for a parent to leave an immunocompromised child unvaccinated, but I think he's working for the pharmaceutical companies.
We have an excellent selection of free-range peppermint and other essential oils.
Tommy, what do you recommend for a bad upper respiratory infection?
Wild-caught leeches.
Tommy, what's the best way to help my male pattern baldness?
Turmeric.
I have a large malignant tumor behind my left eye, but I don't want to go under the knife.
Turmeric.
What about an inflamed prostate? I'm experiencing embarrassing urinary issues.
Turmeric. Gently inserted into the anus.
Tommy, I have an issue with crippling erectile dysfunction. What can you do to help?
I will kick you in the dick.
Hey, Tommy. I just came back from Thailand, and I've been experiencing burning during urination.
We have 63 varieties of organic, sage-based salves. Here at Tommy Zabansky's Holistic Apothecary, we have worked with dozens of high-profile clients, including providing forensic pathologist Cyril Wecht with much-needed supplies for cooking, as well as advising baseball superstar Jamison Tyone on avoiding elbow injuries. I may or may not lose my business license. That remains to be seen. But if you're looking for an expensive and unproven alternative to the healthcare racket, why don't you pay us a visit?
Tommy Zabansky's Holistic Apothecary assume limited liability for injuries sustained while using Holistic Apothecary products. Works with most major area insurances, excluding CVS, UPMC, and any other major healthcare provider. And we're back. So, Jeff, you were telling us all about your movie idea for the Christmas pan.
Actually, I wasn't. I didn't tell you anything about it.
Don't lie, Lawrence.
I just told you.
Okay, that, you brought up the idea because, of your film, you know, The Christmas Pants.
There's already a movie called The Christmas Shoes that we're all familiar with, starring Rob Lowe.
Sir, I want to buy these shoes.
Right, it's based, I don't know if the song came first. I'm pretty sure the song came first. And, then the movie was based on the song.
Comedian Patton Oswalt did about 8 minutes on The Christmas Shoes. It is fantastic. I recommend all you go listen to it because it's on YouTube and animated.
Well, I had an idea for a movie called The Christmas Pants.
Sir, I want to buy these pants.
These old man jeans.
It's not based on a song.
Oh, okay.
There's no song called The Christmas Pants that I'm aware of.
Yet.
Well, right. We still got work to do then.
We should write. Clearly. We should probably write the song first.
Yeah. And then we'll write the movie.
Right, but here's my idea.
Okay,
this is not a Hallmark movie. First of all,
we've
done a couple Hallmark movies already.
This is a big budget.
This is going to be a major Hollywood production, And it opens with a family of three boys, ages, you know, like 10 to 13 or something like that, 9 to 13.
No parents.
No parents.
Well.
Are they in an orphanage?
One parent.
One
parent. Because it's just a single mother. Mm. Their father passed away earlier in the year.
It's not a Disney film.
But these kids, they don't care because it's Christmas now. So they've already forgotten about old dad.
Teenage boys are all dicks.
Yeah.
They're like, I wish dad was here to see this. No.
No.
Christmas.
They're just excited because it's Christmas Eve.
I'm getting a bike.
And tomorrow morning, they're going to get some shit, you know. So that's all they really care about. They forgot about dad already.
Yeah,
okay.
So it's Christmas
asshole.
Eve. They're all excited. And then they go to bed. But something wakes them up. And they all come downstairs in the middle of the night. And there's Santa Claus lying on the living room floor in front of the fireplace, completely bare-assed. He has no pants on.
Does Billy Bob Thornton play Santa?
I was thinking Tim Allen.
Tim Allen.
Well, no, because neither of them are fat, so they can't. They aren't really good Santas.
John Goodman.
John Goodman could be yeah. Our Santa Claus. That would be great. So with John Goodman as
Stephen
Santa Claus. Or Stephen Root, that would be a good one, too.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I seem to misplace my pants.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Did you leave the milk and cookies? The last house, there were milk and cookies for me. I was told that there would be milk and cookies at the house. Okay. But it's either John Goodman or Stephen Root as Santa Claus.
Right.
Bare-assed on the living room floor. And these three boys discovered them in the middle of the night. And what happened was he got his pants caught in the inside of the chimney, you know, because he's big and fat.
Yeah.
So his pants got caught on the inside. It's amazing this hasn't happened before. Yeah.
It's these new energy efficient chimneys.
Right. So he can't go out and do the rest of his Christmas deliveries without a pair of pants. So luckily, their dad
was also big and fat.
He was also big and fat, and that's why
he died.
Because he got too big and fat and he died. Yeah.
So between the two actors, one of them can play the dad in flashbacks. And the other one can be a Santa Claus.
Yeah, maybe. I guess I haven't really thought about
now. John Goodman is basically America's dad since Bill Cosby had to resign his post.
Yeah.
So why not have John Goodman as the dad?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's almost 70. I feel so bad. That's terrible.
We got to feel
John
so bad.
Tough to do though.
Yeah, John Goodman's tough. Yeah. I'm sorry. I told you.
I'm dying from the diabetes.
Can I have some when I'm finished?
But anyway. So they go and get a pair of their old dead dad's pants to give to Santa Claus so he can, you know, deliver the rest of the gifts. Not of course, before Santa delivers their gifts.
Right.
Because that's all they give. These are kids who just care about material things.
Give us the presents, and then we'll talk.
So they give Santa Claus.
The kids are members of the Gambino crime family. Yeah.
Presents first, pants later.
Yeah.
Give us the loot, Saint Nick.
So anyway, they get their stuff, and then they give Santa their dad's old pants, and of course Santa goes about his business, completing all the deliveries for the rest of the night, and everyone has a good Christmas.
So like dungarees or like, you know, pleated khakis.
I was thinking like a balloon big pair of, yeah, pleated khakis is what
they're
I was
not
picturing,
old man jeans
with a brown belt still in the loops.
They couldn't bear the thought of taking the belt out.
Yeah, like a big pair of Dockers.
Had to drill the holes
so
into the belt.
So Santa looks kind of ridiculous with the red, big red coat and then
business
Dockers.
Casual Santa.
Yeah, so they gave him a pair of shoes too to go with the pants because the boots didn't quite work out. But he finishes his deliveries for the night and everyone has a good Christmas. And then we have sort of a, you know, time jump where, you know, you show them after Christmas. It's they go back to school things are happening, and then it's summertime, and then right around summertime
you're like, where the fuck is dad?
Well, no, dad's dead. So they're not saying where the fuck is dad.
Well, they were so distracted by Christmas I thought they
Santa
forgot
never brought back dad's pants.
No, they completely forgot about dad.
Okay.
Yeah, dad was just a big fat guy that lived in their house.
He was a roommate.
He went to work, and then they'd come home and he was big and fat.
Played by Billy Gardell.
Billy Gardell.
It's most a forgettable
actor. Yeah, so I need a pair of pants.
Throw your pants up in the attic. Go pinch. Take a pair.
This is your take a kind of pinch. Bad Billy Gardell.
Yeah.
Yeah, but so it's summertime now, and all of a sudden they're getting all these calls from a collections agency.
Okay.
Because because what happened was, so up until like the 1930s or 40s, they had the elves making all the toys. But all the elves could make was just like shitty wooden toys. So when toys started getting better, you know, with the invention of plastics and stuff like that, when plastics started being used, the elves were no good anymore. They couldn't work with plastics. So Santa had to start buying the toys from, you know, like Hasbro and Mattel and all the China. Toy companies.
So those damn tariffs.
Yeah. So what he had to do was he didn't have any money, so he had to start taking out a lot of high-interest loans.
He has terrible credit.
Yeah, so he's just, he's basically, so, you know, fast forward up into, you know, the current time, he's pretty much exhausted all lines of credit, and he's not paying any of them back. So Santa is in a huge amount of debt. But, we had to pause for a moment due to a microphone issue, and now we're back.
And a Pepsi issue.
And a Pepsi issue, which has all been taken care of. Everything's fine.
I would like to point out to the audience that it is something of a tradition of mine to spill beverages. Mm-hmm.
And
this time John spilled mine.
And John spilled Lawrence's beverage. Right. But like I was saying, so Santa is in a huge amount of debt.
But
he put on this pair of pants that happened to have a wallet inside with a couple of credit cards.
No limit credit cards?
Sure. I don't know. Yeah.
Well, yeah,
no limit credit cards.
American Express.
So that's why they're getting... Oh, hold on. My fly is down. Everything that could be going wrong is going
everything
wrong.
Everything is just not working out for us today.
But I just fixed it. All right. So he's using these credit cards to
wait, now my fly is down.
All the flies are down.
It's a Christmas miracle.
So Santa is using all these credit cards to buy all the presents for next Christmas. And they're not paying the bills. No one's paying the bills because they didn't even know that those credit cards were in there. They
so
forgot about
Santa
them.
Claus is intentionally lying in people's living rooms bare-assed.
Yeah.
What an asshole.
Yeah, it turns out Santa Claus is kind of a piece of shit.
But there Santa's has to be Christmas!
And now keep in mind, of course, that this is mainly for like the richer kids, because the poor kids, they don't expect anything. You know, they expect they can get like the Toys for Tots or whatever and get one one shitty gift and be happy with it. But like the richer kids, they expect more. So that's what he's mainly, you know, trying to take care of is this rich kid problem.
The Hallmark
where
kids.
They expect a whole lot of presents on Christmas Day. So he's running up ridiculous amounts of debt on these credit cards that he just got. He had to use them. I mean, it was actually kind of a godsend for Santa because he couldn't get credit anywhere else. He exhausted like the entire world.
Not even the German bank that gave
exactly.
Trump credit.
Deutsche Bank.
No.
Deutsche
yeah,
Bank.
Deutsche Bank.
Done.
Jesus.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. He already
fucked up Santa.
They severed ties with him. He already
How is he
defaulted
not in,
on
in
those
court?
Loans. Well, because he lives on the North Pole. I mean, no one has jurisdiction over him. That's the problem.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah. They won't give him any more credit, but they also can't go after him because he's, you know, citizen of no country, really.
It's subpoena immunity.
I mean, it's just a big piece of ice. You know, it's basically international waters.
I think it's actually part of Norway, isn't it?
The North Pole?
Or not Norway, Denmark. I think Denmark, technically.
Denmark?
Yeah, I feel like I...
Does Denmark...
Oh, boy! We're going to Denmark!
So Denmark also owns Danish. Greenland.
They do own it. Yeah.
Which Donald Trump is very interested in.
Yeah, that would be cool. But
that'd be pretty sweet.
Yeah, so they're getting all these calls now from the collections agencies, and it's becoming a big problem for because you know, this is a single mother. She's working to support three young boys,
right?
So she can't afford to pay off the ridiculous amount of
$600 billion
yeah,
of toy debt,
billions of dollars in toy debt that Santa rang up on the credit cards,
800 million iPads.
So the three boys, they
$500 at Jeans West.
Three kids.
Yeah, it's only like four pairs of jeans. But anyway, so the three boys, they get together and they have to figure out how they're going to solve this problem. So they consult with a lawyer, and
Played by Bob Odenkirk.
Lionel Hutz.
So the lawyer gently nudges that the only real solution is that they kill their mother, too.
Okay.
So now that dies with your mother.
So they have to come up with a scheme.
There's some religious overtures here. She paid your debts.
So they have to come up with a scheme to kill their mom.
Good God.
Because the mom was like, her name was on the credit cards also. Even though she didn't work, she was a stay-at-home mom. The dad, he did pretty well for himself. You know, that's how he got these limit credit cards. It was, you know, this is like an Amex Black we're talking about.
Ooh,
yeah.
Fancy businessman.
Yeah, he did pretty well for himself. Yeah.
He got approved for it before the housing crisis.
Exactly.
No limit.
Exactly. But mom, she doesn't have any skills except for doing laundry and cooking and shit like that.
Hookering.
So she can't.
Hookering! Hookering!
That's right. So she's been selling her pussy for the last couple of years now. And you know, and that can only go so far.
There's always so many other dads on the block.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. Especially one that's already pushed out three kids. It's, you know, it's not worth that much.
It's like rolling a hot dog down a bowling alley.
Yeah, right. Supply and demand.
Mm-hmm. So she's only able to get like $20-$30 a pop. It's just not nearly enough to finance the ridiculous toy debt that Santa rang up. So these three boys, you know, they go to the lawyer. The lawyer gently nudges that they should maybe get rid of mom. You know, because who's going to convict three kids that are now between the ages of 12 or 11 and 14? No one.
You have a lot of confidence in trees.
Eastern Pennsylvania might have a few.
Maybe they would. I don't know.
Alabama sentenced them to death.
So next Christmas comes. And they wait for Santa this time. They stay up. They wait for Santa. Santa comes down the chimney, and they give him a confrontation. They say, you know, damn it, Santa.
Hey, Claus.
Do you know what kind of position you put us in, pal? You rang up billions of dollars on my dead dad's credit card.
Billions of dollars.
So what they do is they make Santa kill the mom.
I'm sorry that I have to do this here, and hope there's no hard feelings.
Yeah, so Santa Claus has to kill their mom, and also give them like a lot of the presents that were supposed to go to the poor kids.
Oh, Jesus!
And he does it. You know, he does it, and they make it look like an accident. So Santa kills her. And then, like, breaks her neck, but then, like, sets her outside and then, like, takes some of the Christmas lights down, like, a little bit. So it looks like she was trying to hang the Christmas lights up, and then she went down. And it all actually works out pretty well. I mean, Santa Claus still has the problem of finding a new source of credit to finance Christmas.
That's a dead dad's where that came
Yeah,
from.
But the three boys, you know, they mom's dead, the debt is forgiven because, debt can't be passed on to, you know, minors.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah.
So there's no more debt, and everything works out. Except for Santa, he has to find a new source of credit.
So the movie basically ends with, like, the three boys, like, hugging over their dead mom.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're at,
and then,
like,
then there's credits. Like, they don't even know, like, who's going to raise these kids.
What it does, it
do they all end
them
up in an orphanage?
Just all singing Amazing Grace around the corpse of their dead mother.
Well, they're at the... exactly. They're at the cemetery going...
That was that's the first thing I thought of when you mentioned
the Who's in Whoville standing all around. Yeah.
So that's the movie. That's
the Christmas pants, rated PG.
That's the Christmas pants with no Rob Lowe. You should probably work Rob Lowe in there somehow.
I'd pay to see that.
He's the lawyer.
Ooh, yeah, Rob Lowe could be the lawyer.
He'd be a good lawyer, actually. He'd be a really good lawyer for that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Rob Lowe. So that's the Christmas pants.
Starring Stephen Root and Rob Lowe as the lawyer.
Stephen Root is Santa Claus, and John Goodman as the dead dad.
Yeah.
In the flashbacks that'll happen, we'll just, you know, pepper them in there somewhere.
No matter what happens, make sure you never let go of my pants.
I told you. Is that supposed when to be John Goodman? Yeah.
I can't do John Goodman, so just trying to, you know.
No matter what happens.
Ex-dad.
Make sure no one takes my pants.
The only thing I can think of, the John Goodman impression is the Family Guy impression of John Goodman. Yeah. That's all I can think of.
Yeah, we're not doing that.
I can't.
We try to avoid Family Guy on this program.
Yeah, but it has some gems. Mm. I think that was a gem. But I feel like this movie has a good sequel in it, too. I'd love to see the sequel to this movie where we find out that it's like a worldwide phenomenon where every year there's a different different dead dad whose pants ends up with Santa Claus.
Who has to finance Christmas?
John Hamm's the FBI investigator trying to find out what... he's getting blown by Mrs. Claus at the North Pole.
Now, what is it that Santa Claus wants to give to children? What does Santa Claus need?
Bring in the elves.
There are no more elves. The elves quit.
Oh, that's right. The elves.
Yeah, the elves quit because they make shitty toys and no one wants them anymore.
They all work in. They all work in a Ford plant.
They were like
Mexico.
Woodworking elves, and no one wants wooden toys. You know, like a stupid little car.
They're all teaching industrial arts and tinker toys. <Indiana. laughs>
Industrial arts.
All right, now here's what you do. Make sure you wear your goggles at the bandsaw. Yeah. Quit screwing around.
Quit screwing around.
Get my step stool.
All right, so. With that Christmas stuff that we're doing.
Christmas stuff.
Christmas stuff.
Because with a little bit of luck, we'll actually air this before Christmas.
Maybe, yeah.
Maybe. Maybe not for you folks east of us in different time zones and down in England. Might be hearing this on Boxing Day, for example.
Well, whatever. Close enough.
Close enough.
Close enough.
You might hear it on Brexit Day.
Brexit Day. When's that
happening?
That's
not January 31st. I got yeah, that's, we got time.
This will be out well
they
before
keep
that.
Pushing it back.
Yeah, but they more or less...
No, they passed the bill to exit.
Overwhelmingly. Yeah, like 120 MPs.
They do have...
Oh, nah! That stupid Boris Johnson and his bowl cut.
Yeah, your prime minister sucks.
He does. And I think most of our listeners would agree.
When did that guy get elected? Because he just showed up all of a sudden, though.
He won the...
It's a parliamentary system, so it works differently.
Yeah, he won the Conservative Party leadership election.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't pay a lot of attention to UK politics. So I don't...
Confusing.
I pay
hell.
Some.
I just kept seeing a picture of this guy with an awful bowl cut.
He's been around a long time.
Yeah.
In
with the
politics.
Same stupid haircut?
Yes.
Yeah.
Always.
Sounds like our guy.
He's a little less of a dick. A little less.
He.
Wait, which one?
Johnson. Yeah.
Well, he was actually one of the more liberal, small L liberal Tories out
yeah.
there. He would have been classified during the Thatcher years as a wet.
W-H-E-T?
You're getting way into the weeds
W-E-T.
Here.
W-E-T.
Okay, yeah.
Way which was the weeds a, here. Will you yeah. let me at least explain?
I'm impressed, actually, because I'm fairly up on European politics, and
explain.
I have no fucking clue what you're talking about.
During the Thatcher years, there were wets and dries. The wets were kind of the liberal, because they were wet and limp, and that was why... And the dries were the Thatcherites, who would be like our Reaganites.
Man,
that's
love,
all.
I love the Brits.
And Johnson would have been a wet in, you know, in that parlance.
Mm. All right, so anyway.
Anyway.
Anyway, we're talking about Christmas.
Christmas.
Stuff. Yeah. And, you know, I'm a music guy. And we had this conversation on the old show last year.
Mm-hmm.
With the... This year, there's not so much heat around this particular song, and it was Baby, It's Cold Outside we discussed in the old show.
Well, because when we discussed it the last time, we were kind of in the midst of the Me Too movement.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's why there isn't as much, like you said, heat.
Hoopla.
Hoopla.
Hoopla!
Good word.
Hubbub, hoopla. Perhaps?
Hubbub.
Hubbub. Yeah. There isn't as much hubbub around it. But, John, you mentioned that... They redid the song again?
Again. Well, again. This time last year, the song was redone by two people who didn't really need to do anything, and it stunk. It was awful.
You're talking about the Michael Bublé version, or...?
No, Michael Bublé, actually, as much as I do not care for...
Maybe it's cold outside.
That Canadian asshat, who thinks he's an old-timey crooner.
An old-timey crooner.
He actually performs the song as it was written.
He really isn't that good.
No, he's not. He's like the guy.
His voice isn't that great. He's
maybe all, you'll all, start to worry. Not that
they all blend together. Is that the one with Zoe Deschanel?
I don't know.
Actually, yeah.
No. Is that the one I'm thinking of? Okay. All
right. Zoe, no, you're thinking of Will Ferrell.
Will Ferrell.
Will Ferrell.
The Jimmy Fallon one with...
Jimmy Fallon.
With what's-her-face. Like, yeah, the black-haired chick from
maybe,
SNL.
Maybe it's...
That was too many of that.
Nah, it's Cecily Strong.
Cecily Strong?
They do, like, a reverse Baby It's Cold Outside. It's actually pretty funny, where he hosts SNL, and she won't leave, and he's wearing a Pens jersey, actually.
Okay,
it's quite good.
That version was done long time ago in the reverse by Miss Piggy and ballet dancer Rudolph Nureyev. On the Muppet Show.
Yeah.
So let's not act
baby,
like,
it's cold outside.
I mean, Fallon
I have to go away. Oh, Kermit.
Anyway, John,
what were you saying?
This was
kind of
your thing.
The new version.
The new version. I'm trying to send the lyrics over to Lawrence because he and I discussed this beforehand.
Well, maybe you should have sent the lyrics over beforehand and you
prepared. I should have, but I forgot. I was so enamored with your plot for the Christmas slacks.
Some kind of slouch.
The Christmas slacks. The Christmas dockers.
Christmas dockers.
Christmas britches.
Christmas day of britches.
Christmas britches.
Christmas denim. Are you going to serenade us?
Have you?
That was the plan, actually.
I actually would like to hear Lawrence.
Because... The one that was done last year was so unbelievably bad as far as a rewrite. It was, I really can't stay. Baby, I'm fine with that.
Oh, yeah, yeah, no, I did hear that, yeah. Baby, I respect your wishes as a woman.
Your body, your choice.
Oh, here we go.
You know what?
Do
it right.
To Google. Do it to
right.
Google.
That is
okay.
This one was done by John Legend. So search Lawrence. If we John had a producer, he could just bring him up and we can just read off a goddamn screen. But
okay, so here's the thing.
Yeah.
I was at work, and this guy in the works near me kept playing Christmas music on his phone. Which, you know, Christmas
music. That would be annoying.
Exactly. And that's bad enough. It's on the phone speaker, which is just that tinny sound. I can't stand it.
Did you tell him you're Jewish just to see what he would do?
No.
Like, he knows insensitive
prick. He knows I'm not a Jew.
Okay,
he's heard the show.
But that was the thing, was that the song was playing, and I was like, is this the new version or like the original one? He's like, oh, I think it's the original. And then it said, like, your body, your choice. And I was like,
and that's not the original.
And he's like, never mind, really? Never mind. It's not the original.
Okay, I've got it.
All right. So my impression of this the first time I heard it was, I'm not sure if this is a goof. It's kind of a goof, actually. The previous version was like, you know, I really can't stay. Oh, yeah, go ahead. Just leave.
Maybe that's the song, just one line.
Maybe I'll call you. You know, maybe we can go on a date. If you feel like it,
we will
I'm not
split
sure.
The check.
Really can't the check. Say, well, you have my number. That's it.
This one, it still stinks, but it's kind of a. I got the sense a little bit that it's kind of a goof on the idea that the song needs to be rewritten in the first place, because the ending is ambiguous. The way that the first song, the ending was ambiguous. What people don't realize is that the original version of Baby
then
It's Cold
had
Outside.
Sex, but it was entirely consensual.
She signed a form.
And in the background, she's like,
form. Oh, Jesus.
No, that ain't kosher.
Anyhow, this one's not nearly as bad.
Not nearly.
I don't know what to make of it. So maybe if this works, and you guys can stop us anytime, Lawrence and I are going to perform.
This will be stopped very quickly.
I imagine.
Can I stop you now?
I'm gonna
No.
I want to encourage this, actually.
So, Lawrence, why don't you do the lady part?
Which one is that? Is that the one in the parentheses?
I will be in the parentheses.
Okay.
Can we have Lawrence do it with his Marlon Brando impression?
Do a Marlon Brando.
Do Marlon Brando.
I'm for it.
Okay.
All right. Oh, okay.
I really can't stay.
Baby, it's cold outside.
I've got to go away.
But I can call you a ride. Wait a minute. We need John doing someone. John, what kind of impressions can you do? What's your number one?
Me listening back to the program, none.
Oh.
To Myron Cope, would actually be.
What would be better for our, you know, we have a wide
international listenership.
Yeah, we have a wide reach.
I can kind of do Morgan Freeman. I've had a black guy tell me to do a C+ Morgan Freeman.
Okay, do your Morgan Freeman, and then Lawrence,
which means I
have
to speak the part.
Lawrence will do your Marlon
baby,
Brando.
It's cold outside.
You know what? They might let us go longer if we speak it.
Okay, I think so, yeah. Let's just speak
All right, we'll try a little impressions here, and feel free to cut us off at any time. Yeah. And a one, two, from the top.
I really can't stay.
Baby, it's cold outside.
I've got to go away.
But I can't call you a ride.
Well, this evening has been...
I'm so glad that you dropped in.
So very nice.
Time spent with you is paradise with your Visa check card.
Does it really say that?
No.
I was going to say, it's like, Jesus.
The whole thing's an advertisement for Visa.
My mama will start to worry.
I'll call a car and tell him to hurry.
My daddy will be pacing the floor.
Wait, why are you still living at home for?
That is a lyric.
That's the lyric, yeah.
Millennials.
And that's why I think this might be a goof.
I don't know.
So really, better scurry.
Your driver, his name is Murray.
But maybe just a half a drink more.
Well, we're both adults, so who's keeping score?
What will my friends think?
I think they should rejoice.
Well, if I have one more drink?
It's your body and your choice.
Oh, you really know how.
Your eyes are like starlight now.
To cast the spell, Morgan.
One look at you, Marlon, and then I fell.
I ought to say, no, 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 sir.
Then you really ought to go if you're not going to suck my dick today.
Well, okay.
I took a little license there.
A little creative.
No, I think that's in the song.
I did Richard Pryor. It's okay. He was sound like a mule. You should have seen him. So at least I'm going to say that I tried.
Well, Murray, he just pulled up outside.
I really can't stay.
I understand, baby.
Baby, it's cold outside.
Should we do the second verse?
I don't know. What do you guys think? Do you want to keep going?
Yep, I'm kind of enjoying this, actually.
I think so.
This All is right. so good for the Christmas show.
John, now I want you to do John Hamm.
Okay, John Hamm. Who do you want me to do now? Just keep doing Brando.
Bernie Sanders.
Oh,
Bernie,
yeah,
Sanders.
Yeah, Bernie Sanders. Yeah, Bernie Sanders.
John will do John Hamm.
Okay. And if you start verse. With millionaires and billionaires, I'm going to beat the fuck out of you.
No millionaires and billionaires. No,
I'm not going to do that.
All right.
Can anybody do an Elizabeth Warren?
I could do one.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh my God.
That ain't kosher.
That might be the most offensive thing I've seen on our program yet.
Does it? Yeah.
Which is sad.
We have reached a new low.
Yeah. Oh, sweet
Jesus.
Well,
it is Christmas time and we're making merry.
Oh, Jesus.
So that was worse than the Boston Marathon joke?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because that wasn't insinuated.
One had about, that one had about three things that Mikey's Virginia friends would not like about that.
Make sure you play that for them.
Piss off liberals, Native Americans.
Please, please show your DC.
Oh yeah,
yeah, please liberal let them DC hear this horrible thing.
Oh, Jesus, I will defend
my
anything in the name
Warren
of humor.
Impression.
Oh God. Where's our soundboard?
We're not ready for that yet.
Okay. All right. Verse. This is the second verse. Now performed by Bernie Sanders and me, apparently doing John Hamm.
I simply should go.
Well, text me when you get home.
Oh, I'm supposed to say no.
Well, I guess that's respectable.
Is that what it says?
Oh, yes.
I guess that's respectable. Yes. Is that the actual...
There's also a hmm in there, too.
This welcome has been...
All right, hold on. Okay, I'm sorry. Okay. Try it again.
This welcome has been...
I feel lucky that you... I'd rather do Morgan Freeman. Can I do Morgan Freeman still?
No.
Just keep going.
Keep going as John Hamm.
I feel lucky that you dropped in.
So nice and warm.
But you better go before it storms.
My sister will be suspicious.
Well, gosh, your lips look delicious.
My brother will be there at the door.
What does your brother want? He loves music, baby, I'm sure.
My gossipy neighbor... Elizabeth Warren is vicious.
She's a savage, some might say.
Jesus.
God. Oh my God.
Oh, that's so. That one's better somehow.
Well,
I'm in advertising, so tell me what your wish is.
But maybe just the cigarette more.
Might suggest a lucky strike. It's toasted.
It's toasted.
That's something we should probably explore.
I've got to get home.
Oh, I'm well aware.
Say, lend me your coat, John Ham.
Well, keep it. I don't care.
You've really been grand.
I feel good to touch your hands.
But don't you see?
I want you to stay. So how do I convince you that that's what you want?
There's bound to be talk tomorrow.
Well, that's what we're going for because I'm in advertising. And word of mouth is probably the best way that we can do this.
Well, at least plenty will be implied.
Well, of course, because that's what we're going for. And let their minds do it, because really, when you try to win over the public, you have to win over their minds.
All right, listen, I'm going home. I've had enough of this.
Baby, it's cold outside.
Horrible.
One more time. Jeff, try it with me, since you actually know how to sing.
Well, I didn't know where you were going.
Outside.
And one, two, and
baby, it's cold outside.
We got a seventh. We had a chord.
I broke a little bit, but I was trying to harmonize.